Revelations chapter 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. And from verse 6 to verse 8, in a condensation it says, of the tribe of Asher, of Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin were sealed 12,000 of each tribe. Brother Joseph, is this something literal God is going to do? Actually seal 12,000 of each tribe? I'm sure God knows the descendants of every human being. So he's going to seal 12,000 of each tribe, so precise?
Exactly. That's what he says.
So it's physical sealing. It's not something spiritual.
Physical.
All right. So who are these 144? They are Jews that are spread all over the world?
Well, they are spiritual Jews, which is spread all over the world.
What does it mean, spiritual Jews?
Today, the true Israel, it's a spiritual Israel.
But then, if you say they're spiritual Jews, why does it name the tribes so specifically?
Because the spiritual Jews are physical. I am a spiritual Jew. You are a spiritual Jew. And are we a ghost? Are we spirits?
No, we are flesh.
You're not physical. Touch yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, touch your hand.
Yeah, but why does it say God and Asher and Naphtali?
Like,
why?
How do you know from what tribe do you come from, Brother Joseph?
Well, I don't know, because I'm a spiritual Jew, so God doesn't reveal that to me, but I belong to some...
What does it mean, spiritual Jew? Where does it come from, this terminology? What is it in the Bible?
Well, the carnal Jews are the descendants of Abraham in the flesh.
Yes, the circumcision.
With the circumcision.
Okay.
Except it says in the Old Testament, it says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Actually, it was Jesus who said that. It says that there's a scripture in the Bible that it says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So there already you have that the Jews in the kingdom of God are not going to be the flesh and blood Jews, but the spiritual Jews, which are Jews because part of the body of Christ.
Can this be proven with scriptures?
Yes, this can be proven with scripture. It's necessary to prove it because most of the biblical translation, beginning with the terrible translation, the Scofield Bible of the 1800 and the Clark Bible, they really, really lied and brought a lot of heresies into the body of Christ, into the seminary, into the churches. And one of the lies was that the Jews were different, the Jews were here, the Jews were there. And they were making a differentiation between the Jews in the flesh and blood, and the Jews in the, and the Christians. This is a lie. There are no, God does not have two people. He only has one people. Like you see that in Ephesians chapter 4, says there is one God, one spirit, one salvation, one body. Okay? In other words, there is one body of Christ and not two bodies. And so spiritual Jews.
So what does it say in the Bible that there are spiritual Jews?
Well, start, for example, in James. Let's go to James. We can start from there. James 1:1.
Okay.
While you turn to James, I want to tell the dear brethren, tune in with our YouTube end time 7777. And there is a very... elaborated and very clear Bible study, who are the 144,000, it's called.
Pretty long, too.
Yeah, and so pretty interesting.
Yes, I got it from every aspect over there, so you can tune in and can study as much as you want.
James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings.
So, was James a Christian or a non-Christian?
Of course, a Christian.
Was he writing the epistle to the Pharisees and the Jews who were not Christians were persecuting the Christian? Or was he writing to the Christians?
To the Christians.
In verse 2 it says, my brethren.
Okay, so who are these 12 tribes?
Brethren in Christ.
All right.
But so it says 12 tribes.
Exactly.
That's quite something. Exactly. It says 12 tribes.
Exactly like Revelation chapter 7. You get that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You see, here you get the 12 spiritual tribes.
I understand.
See, as soon as you enter into Christ, or better said, Christ enters into you, and you enter into his body, you enter into the promise from the Old Testament that Israel was going to be blessed forever. So now the carnal Jews, they take that carnally. You know, Jews because of the descent from Abraham, therefore. But Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said to the Jews who were saying, we are the children of Abraham, etc. Jesus said, if you were children of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham, but you tried to kill me. Mm-hmm. You are the children of the devil. Okay, in John chapter 8. So Jesus calling the children of Abraham, children of the devil.
So in other words...
And he repeats it in Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. He calls them synagogue of Satan. So why? Because the moment that a carnal Jew rejects Christ, he belongs to the devil. Mm-hmm. You follow? Mm-hmm.
So now there isn't any more Gentile and Jew like in the Old Testament?
Well, no, not in Christ. In the Old Testament, it's like you were not supposed to eat with a Gentile. That's why the Pharisees were criticizing Jesus. He was eating with the Romans. He was eating with the publicans and the prostitutes and the sinners, etc. Because they were getting contaminated that they would have entered a house of the Gentile. But if you read in Galatians 3:28, can you get it, please?
Yes.
It's very clear that there is not any more carnal Jews or Gentile, Jews or non-Jews. But as soon as we enter Christ, Jews or Gentile, we become the same child of God.
Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
That's it.
Amen.
See, the problem today is that a lot of Christian churches have been infiltrated by Jewish doctrines. In other words, the Jews who converted to Christianity and who think they are a few millimeters above the Gentile Christians. This is a lie.
And what about the circumcision? Is it important anymore or not at all?
Well, if you read the Acts chapter 15, there was a big issue in the beginning, and very clearly it says that you don't need to be circumcised. Even already in the Old Testament, God was telling the carnal Jews, be circumcised in their heart.
That's true.
Circumcise your ears. All right?
Amen. And this sealing, Brother Joseph, will it be physical? Like, for example, the Antichrist will spread the mark of the beast around. It's going to be a physical sealing. Will God's sealing for the 144,000 will be physical?
In other words, you're saying visible physically?
Yeah.
I don't think so. No, just like it would be sealed like Jesus Christ was sealed. He couldn't
see. In what sense?
Yeah, Jesus didn't have a seal, a physical seal. It's a spiritual seal.
And what does that mean, spiritual seal?
I don't even think the microchip of the Antichrist, if it's going to be the microchip or whatever, is going to be visible. You can see by the fruits the consequences. Like the seal of Jesus was visible by the anointing.
And is that the same way that the seal of the 144,000 will
visible
be?
Visible by the anointing, exactly. Because they can jump into the fire, so to speak. The 144,000 are going to be 144,000 leaders to keep the Antichrist and the his bestial worldwide ungodly system, persecuted the Christian, keep them at bay, keep them under control, so to speak, so they wouldn't do so much damage, so that we destroy all the Christians. See, for example, we have two more exceptional characters sealed in Revelation 11. They can cause cataclysm, they can cause earthquakes, they can cause tsunamis, they can cause all kinds of national catastrophes, just to keep the Antichrist busy. In fact, if you see the woes of the Great Tribulation, 3.5 years, which is clearly described in Revelation chapter 8 and 9, I believe those catastrophes, if not all of them, they are commanded, ordered by the two witnesses of Revelation 11, which, in my opinion, I think those two are going to be the leaders of the 144,000. That's what I think.
And then how can somebody know if he is part of the 144,000 if there is nothing that proves it? Like, will they even know, or will they just be leaders? And
absolutely, they will know. Huh. Elijah knew he was the prophet of God.
Because God speaks to them?
They will know. Jesus knew he was the Son of God. Peter knew he was the leader of the church. Paul knew he was the apostle called by Jesus. You know that. I know I am a son of God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. No way I could go to the lake of fire. I'm saved once and forever, etc. You know that, you know. Like the same way you live, the fruits that you produce for Jesus, the souls that we meet almost every day to whom we give the salvation of Jesus, those fruits speak to God, to the devil, and to us. By the fruits you shall know. The 144,000 will know who they are.
What will they do exactly that will make them be so outstanding?
It will be a time when there is not going to be the news, communication, Christian communication, Christian news.
What do you mean? Of course there'll be news.
No Christian news. There will not be all these Christian channels you can flip the TV and watch. Like the media will be under the control of the devil 100%. Right now there are still some Christian channels right and left, okay? It will be like under the regime of the Adolf Hitler, the Nazi system in Germany, where nobody could have a radio or TV program or make a propaganda against Hitler, would be killed on the spot, right? It would be like that. In that time, God will have 144,000 radios.
What do you mean, 144,000 radios?
144,000 TV stations.
In other words, these guys will actually open TV stations?
No, there will be human stations. There will be human radios. In other words, in the flesh.
To what use?
Like Jesus was the Word of God. God was broadcasting through Jesus all over the world, and then Jesus through the 12 apostles. So in the end time, the same will happen. God will broadcast through the 144,000. There'll be radio station in quotes, you understand? In other words, there'll be like almost...
Spreading what?
Spreading God's word, because you won't be able to find God's word just by watching TV or listening to the radio. They'll all be under the control of the Antichrist, you understand? Mm-hmm. So God will have 144,000 spread all over the world, which they can walk around. They can reach the end of the earth just by walking. They won't be able to catch planes. They won't be able to catch a train. They won't be able to catch a bus. They won't be able to possess a car, because you'll need the mark of the beast for that. So 144,000, if you divide them two by two, you know, you have a lot of couples walking around two by two all over there. They're going to be walking around everywhere.
How do you know they're going to be all over the world?
Well, that's why the 144,000, they're not going to be bunched up. They're going to be like the salt of the earth. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. The salt you have to spread. Understand?
So in other words, the 144,000 are the bride of Christ.
Well, yes and no. For sure, they're inside the bride.
What do you mean, no? They're not the bride of Christ?
Well, yes, they're the bride of Christ, but no, they're not the only bride.
Okay.
They're not the whole bride.
You mean the bride is not only 144,000?
No,
it's bigger than that.
I presume strongly that they are part of the bride for sure, because as you see in Revelation 14 verse 1 and 2, it talks about 144,000, like the top of the top. But the bride is more than that, as we can see in the scripture.
Why does God seal only, if you're saying the 144,000 are part of the bride, why does God seal only the 144,000? Why doesn't he seal the whole bride, the bride?
No, God doesn't need more than that.
Why
did Jesus only train 12?
Yeah, but it says here, hurt not the earth. In other words, there will be problems, no? And these guys, basically this sealing, it's their protection. So why God doesn't protect all his bride? Why he doesn't seal all his bride to be protected?
Yes, in fact, it says, hurt not the earth until we finished sealing the 144,000. All right, because otherwise, what's going to happen, they would have gotten hurt by the same plagues that God is going to send against the world, but by sealing them, they wouldn't get hurt. But if they were not sealed, they would have gotten hurt by the same plagues of God, like it says in Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people, that you do not receive the same plagues. You understand?
And the bride, why is she not sealed?
The bride, in other words, maybe let me see if I understand this properly. You are asking, why doesn't God protect the bride too?
I mean, this seal, right? is for protection, right?
Yes. So why doesn't God protect also the bride?
Of course. Well, why is only the 144,000 special that they'll be protecting and the rest of the bride
will suffer? Because in the case of the bride specifically, God has provided the different protections.
What do you mean?
Well, in Revelation 12, we see that the bride is protected for 3.5 years. You can read that in verse 6 and 14. The bride is protected 3.5 years and is even given food, receives all the material needs. Or he says it's fed for 3.5 years. So the bride has a different protection. See, the bride will go into hiding, mostly. He will preach also, the bride will witness, will evangelize and everything. But the bride will be concerned very much in hiding. Because the dragon, Revelation 12, will try to destroy her. And when the dragon cannot reach the woman, the bride, then will attack the rest of the woman, the rest of the seed is Jesus. In other words, the rest of the Christians who are not the bride, you see that Revelation 12:17 attacks the Christians and destroys them, Revelation 13:7. So there's a difference here. There's 144,000 protected by the seal, the sealing. The bride protected by the hiding, and then the rest of the Christians who are attacked and destroyed, Revelation 13:17. And chapter 13, verse 7, we see that on Matthew 24, from 15 until 21. See, Jesus said they will persecute, they will kill you, etc. You see that in Daniel 11, 31 to 35, after the placing of the abomination by the Antichrist, the Christians have been persecuted and destroyed, a lot of them. But they burned, killed, imprisoned, etc.
So you're saying that the rest of the bride will be protected, but it will be mainly into hiding.
Mainly.
But the 144,000...
They don't go into hiding.
Because God has a special purpose for them?
They are the leaders. They are supposed to jump into the fire, into the midst of the battle. They are supposed to be kind of like following the example of the two top leaders, Revelation 11, they go to Jerusalem.
Those two from Revelation 11 are part of the 144,000?
Well, it seems to me they are the leaders. They are even above them.
Because how do you connect?
It gives the characteristics in Revelation 11 that they can cause national catastrophes. These are the two olive branch, which like you talk in Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah sees the vision of who are these two olive branch. And they say, these are my two witnesses who stand in front of the God of the whole earth. The same scripture has been quoted in Revelation 11. These are the two witnesses, the two olive branches who stand in front of the God of the whole earth. They have the powers to change water into blood, to send catastrophes and everything. Before the Antichrist, the beast is able to kill them, and then they get raptured. Do you understand?
Now, the picture I have is the bride is in a place protected by God, fed by God. The 144,000 are spread all over the earth, like you said, like the salt. And who are they leading? I mean, the bride is already put aside. Who are they leading then?
Well, the world is going to be full of Christians who are going to be in disarray, persecuted, in confusion, when a lot of the pastors are going to, a lot of the pastors today are preaching a pre-tribulation rapture. They're going to be killed or they will take the mark of the beast or whatever.
These are Christians who are not the bride?
Well, some pastors today are false, okay? They're preaching false doctrines, okay? They're preaching prosperity, money, 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 money.
These are not the bride.
Understand? So a lot of these Christians are going to be in total confusion. Like when communism took over in Russia, in China, and the Christians were just killed. Understand? Like a lot of the Christians today, they are killed in the Muslim country because they keep going to church, to the church building every Sunday, instead of going into catacomb mode, which allowed the early church to survive for 300 years. Instead of this, kind of sleepy Christianity that keep worshiping God 1 hour a week in a building with a Muslim throwing bombs. That's not the way to do today. Today you have to go to a catacomb strategy where you can attack, witness, evangelize, etc. Kind of in a not too obvious way, underground, and then hide in the catacomb. What's a catacomb? Today a catacomb is your house, your apartment, where you live. Nobody knows you're an active Christian, you understand? Nobody knows you're a commando, an attacking, a soldier Christian. But then whenever you can, underground, you witness and evangelize, this protects you. Like the proverb says, he that fights and runs away, leaves to fight another day.
But if nobody knows I'm an active Christian, am I a true Christian then?
Well, repeat that again.
If nobody knows I'm active, I'm evangelizing, I let my light shine, then how can I be a true Christian?
What do you mean nobody knows?
You're saying nobody knows.
But they're supposed to know because you are supposed
exactly.
to witness.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
Yeah, you're supposed to witness, that's what I'm saying. You hide in the catacombs, which again, it can just be any place that nobody knows you're an active Christian.
But then, somewhere else, you mean, not in your house.
For example, I mean, for many years I've been operating like this. I've been working in countries where it was forbidden to evangelize, like in India. And, well, we had our house where the neighbors, they didn't know we were active Christians.
Why?
Because we were keeping quiet in the area. Okay. We were not evangelizing the neighbors. We were just keeping quiet. You know,
they were acting like sleepy Christians.
We were acting like passive Christians who don't evangelize.
Reason?
Then we would just move away like a few kilometers from the house and evangelize like crazy. Go to other villages. We lived in huge cities and moved to another area of the city and evangelize 100%.
But for what reason were you acting like into hiding like sleepy Christians
because,
in your
own
home?
Because, for example, in India it was forbidden. The police would come in the night. The police would come sometime and in the night we had to run away.
So basically to be protected so you can evangelize outside much more.
Yeah, even here in South America, we're witnessing in an island, and we were living in a house and nobody knew we were active Christians, which is normal people. But then when the police found us, they just mistreated us very badly. They threw us in a car in the police station. They put us in a boat and kicked us out of the island. You understand? They didn't put a bad rubber stamp on the passport, otherwise the next island they wouldn't receive us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so in the house we lived kind of in a secretive way. Nobody knew we were active Christian soldiers, you understand?
Mm-hmm. I understand?
In the house nobody knew. So that's what I mean, a catacomb system.
Yes, yes. To protect yourself.
Understand?
So you
true?
Can do more for Jesus.
Of course. You know, just like when the Christian, like Jesus, many times you see that in John chapter 8, he was hiding and running away. Jesus was always hiding. John chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
He told his brethren, I don't go to this feast. Then as soon as they took off, those unbelievers, they left. He went secretly to the feast. Jesus was acting secretly. It took a Judas to find out where he was sleeping.
Yes. Is it true, like some people say, that...
Let me finish this. So this thing about worshiping God 1 hour a week in a building is unscriptural, is unbiblical. Okay, because if you go worship God in a building, you're just like a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu. They worship in a temple. Jesus never did that. You can go to a religious building like Jesus did to blast the truth, to witness, to evangelize, to wake them up, to get them out of the place. Usually they got him out of the place when he went to the synagogue. But the Christians for 300 years, they never had a religious building. You understand? But this thing going to church on Sunday morning, sit down, warm up the bench, pay the preacher so he preaches, this is not Christianity. It's not the Bible. Acts 7:48, God does not live in temples. 1 Corinthians 3:16, the temple is me and you. Amen. And so that's why Christianity is losing ground, and the Christianity is allowing the devil to cover the world. Because Christianity has abdicated the power to reach the world. Now Christianity has been brainwashed by TV, by politicians, by false preachers. Thank God for the true pastors and the true churches who are active and reach the lost and preach the gospel in the streets, like Jesus did. Amen. And that's what we want to do.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Is it true, like some people say, that the bride will be all gathered together in the end times in a place protected by God, and then the rest of the world will have no true Christians bride around?
During the tribulations?
Yes.
No, that's a false doctrine. Not at all. Beginning with the 144,000, they're going to go around everywhere preaching. They're going to be murdered, okay? You can see that in Daniel 11. The son shall be killed and murdered by fire, by captivity, by persecution, by the sword for many days. This is the 144,000. This is also the bride. Because the bride hiding, that doesn't mean they go and hide in a wheelchair or in a stretcher. They hide as like the early church. They hide in their so-called modern catacomb, Revelation 12 calls it wilderness. But then they're also evangelized, just like Jesus did, just like the true apostles did. You know, you don't just go to sleep. You go to the desert. What's the desert? Revelation 12 says that the woman or the bride hides in the desert. The desert is like, it means no Sunday morning blabbering, no Sunday morning hallelujah during the week of watch TV, not like that. It will be in a situation nobody knows you're a Christian. Like I've been doing this for many years. Right now we are living in, the Lord already told us to start now putting oil in our lamps, and you know very well, Are we putting oil in our lamp for many years now, living like a tribulation starts tomorrow? We are ready. Like all our neighbors, they, well, of course, they know we are Christian, this and that, but they don't know we are soldiers. They don't know we go out witnessing every day. They don't know that we do miraculous healing. The landlords of this house doesn't know we do miraculous healing. So we don't dare because there is going to, oh boy, you guys are, it's going to be a line of people tomorrow by the gates trying to get healing. So we keep quiet. We take buses. We drive away. We go to other villages. That's what we do. And then we come just burn free, explode, evangelize, get persecuted and take off. And people don't know where we are. We are already living in the desert. The churches around here, there's a lot of Laodicea churches, you know. Here, not all Christians around us are good. Some of them are really Laodicea. We cannot tell them. We cannot trust them. A bunch of, okay.
So this is a tip for the brethren that if you want to be active for Jesus, you need to not think like this, mentality that most of the Christians have. Well, I better tell the truth. If somebody asks me, am I an active Christian? Where do I live? I better tell the truth because the Bible says not to lie. Mm-hmm. Amen. The Bible says not to lie, and we shouldn't say
lies. Where are your brethren hiding from the Antichrist? Oh, they base them, go kill them, torture them. Of course, you don't give the truth to the devil.
Exactly.
You learn from Jesus.
You are wise as serpents, Jesus.
Yeah, they ask you one thing, you answer something else. You don't lie and deny Jesus. Of course, no. But you need to, Jesus said, be wise as serpents, Matthew chapter 10. No stupid as donkeys.
Exactly.
Okay, we know Christians got betrayed by some other unwise Christian who told the truth of the devil.
Yeah, in fact, I wanted to bring up the
example. Keep your mouth shut.
Exactly.
The best answer you can give is, I don't know. Next.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up the example of Richard Wurmbrand. He ended up in prison because a brother betrayed him because he couldn't lie. And Richard Wurmbrand said, you don't need to lie, of course, but neither tell him what
wisdom.
I am. Use wisdom.
Of course. Ended up in jail because a Christian was so sincere to tell the KGB where he was hiding. That's not telling the truth. That is betrayal.
Exactly. Rather give your life.
Judas was not telling the truth when he betrayed Jesus. He betrayed Jesus.
Exactly.
So he should have said, I don't know, and that's it.
But even that can be caused as a lie, thought as a lie. You know, you often...
I don't know where he is right now. I don't know.
Oh, you mean this moment?
Yeah, right. I don't know if he's going to toilet or if he's taking a walk on the other mountain, if he's sleeping, if he's awake, if he's under this tree or the other tree. I don't know where he is now.
Exactly. See, this is wisdom.
What's this? Mind your business. Or then we'll kill you. Oh, great. Thank you for the free ticket for heaven.
Amen. Rather be willing. That's all I wanted to say. Be willing to be martyred, you yourself, to give your life than to tell, quotes the truth and betray your brethren.
Yeah, he asked Jesus question, didn't he? He didn't always answer straight. You read the First Samuel chapter, what is it, 16. I mean, God says, fill your horn with oil, go to Bethlehem, anoint one of the children, one of the sons of Jesse. He didn't even say David, just go anoint one of the sons. And the Samuel, he was one of the greatest men of God, said, but Saul will kill me if I do that. And God said, no, here, let's make a plan. Can you imagine God and Samuel just plotting? So, okay, listen, I tell you, take a heifer. I go sacrifice this animal, and just go to Bethlehem and say, you came to make a sacrifice unto God, unto me, in other words, God speaking, you know? And then call Jesse and his family to the sacrifice, and that's it. They made a plan. Was Samuel going there to make a sacrifice? Well, in a way, but was that the reason? No. Were they being deceiving? Absolutely, yes.
In fact, Paul says, as deceivers yet true.
Yeah, it's like, they were deceiving the devil, deceiving Saul. So he went there and,
David. It was true.
I mean, can you imagine God said, don't worry, I tell you, here is the plan. You go there, you pretend you're going to make me a sacrifice, okay? In reality, we know I'm sending you there to anoint the son of Jesse. You understand?
Amen.
I mean, you should see, that's all over the Bible. Okay?
Amen.
All over the Bible.
Amen.
Okay, we need to get moving here.
So, for me to understand the difference between the 144,000 and the bride, if I understood right, so the bride is the Christians who are protected. They have to go into hiding in the wilderness. That's why these days we're encouraging a lot the brethren, being in the end time, to pray. Where does the Lord want them to spend the end times?
God told us our place in the wilderness was in another continent. So we left Europe, and that it took us a year. And we came here in South America, a place where there's many countries that speak the same language, easygoing people. It's easy to hide here. There are countries that are very dangerous. If you're very wide, places like Peru, etc., is dangerous because there is so much crime. We were there, we had to move out. So we had to find a place where there is less crime and everything. Now we can move around, we can evangelize here, a very beautiful place.
But 144,000, they will be able actually to go in the dangerous areas, like in the NWO, New World Order places, and still evangelize and be active because they have a special protection, right?
Yes, the time will come for them to also be killed, because some of them will be killed, just like it happened to the super duper witnesses, to the two witnesses of Revelation 11. They'd be killed. Revelation 11, verse 7. The beast and the Christ, after they had 3.5 years of tribulations, when they finish the testimony, he will kill them. So the 144,000, I expect most of them to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
I expect. Understand? Why the woman is protected. Why? Because she's not called to be the 144,000. She doesn't have a seal of God to enter into those places. Understand? If the woman will go together with the 144,000, some of the women in certain places where God is sending plagues and national catastrophe, see Revelation 11, okay, the woman will suffer the same plagues like the unbelievers, understand? Because she is not sealed. She's protected 2.5 years. Okay, but she's not sealed from the catastrophes, from the atomic radiation, nuclear bomb, from earthquake, tsunami. I mean, she, just like every other Christians, she will suffer the same plagues of the, which God sends against the Antichrist world. Only the 144,000 are sealed and protected from this. The woman has a different protection. It's not a seal of protection, but it is a place in the wilderness for 3.5 years where she's fed. Revelation 12, 6 and 14.
That's why God says, get out from among them, my people.
Exactly. That's what he says in Revelation 18. For get out of her, whether it's Babylon or whatever wrong place you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the whole new world order is based on Babylon. Right? Now, I believe, and many others with me, that Babylon, the whore and the mother of prostitute, Revelation 17 and 18, it's the United States. Okay? But also the rest of the New World Order, the rest of Europe, Canada, Australia, they're all based on the prostitution of the dollar. They're all the boss.
What do you mean, prostitution
well,
of the
because,
dollar?
Well, because the Babylon is called prostitute in Revelation 17. And the dollar is a it's a spirit of prostitution because it's based on corruption, it's based on bribery, etc. It's a financial prostitution, okay? So all the Western world, Europe, Australia, Canada, etc., they bought so many dollars. Their economies, they are based on the dollar. When the financial system, American financial system, the international banking system, which is based in America, New York, collapse, all this country will collapse. All right, and then the will be entering the tribulation, persecution, etc. So we are counseling our brethren, get out of the New World Order area.
Amen.
The NWO area, which is Europe, Australia, America, go to the third world. Go where the countries are poor. Go to places where people are just poor and surviving. They will hardly notice the catastrophe. Go to a place like we came here, we bought some chicken, we are raising chickens, we are raising vegetables.
We're learning.
We are a central heating system in the house, which is on gas. The gas is very expensive here because it costs a lot of money. So we are collecting a lot of wood, and we have bought some wooden stove.
And it's very challenging. We're learning many new things which before we didn't do.
So we built a chicken coop. Now we have chicken, so we can have eggs and everything.
It took us a couple of months to build it.
Yeah, because thank God we had the time. It takes time, you see.
Well, between the witnessing and here and there.
Now we have a lot of wood, so we can heat of the heating system based on wood, which you can find everywhere. So already now we're not based on our living, and not based on electricity, on gas, etc. But we are trying to be completely independent. Understand? So if the world collapses, well, we are here, the third world, we have heating by wood, etc. And we don't depend doing shopping in the supermarket, etc. Because as we go evangelizing, we, people will help you always. During the years, you know very well as much as I do, if you go evangelizing, you tell people, we're doing a food collection for our mission, everybody will help you. You don't need to go to the supermarket with the trolleys. Right now we do a little, we do, because we're still able. It hasn't collapsed yet. But if everything collapses, we will leave or whatever the land produces. Amen.
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 Well, so far it hasn't been too bad. We have some cactus fruits that we planted. We have figs. We have avocado in the garden. It seems very inspiring.
Also, the cactus fruit hasn't grown yet. But when we drive around, we stop. I know my wife really likes to jump off. We put the gloves on and just collect the cactus fruit. She even makes beautiful jam. Oh, boy, that's so nice.
You know, I want to thank you, Brother Joseph, because, you know, even though I know these things, for the first time I saw very clear the differentiation between the 144,000 and the rest of the bride and what the role of each one is. It came out very clear. God bless you.
I still have a question. I am wondering, in Revelation 7, why does God spell out every tribe's name? Since this 144,000, they are the Christians, why does he spell out each tribe?
Maybe if you don't mind, when it comes to controversial things, which that's a very controversial, because the devil infiltrated the body of Christ through the Bibles. Okay?
Yeah, in fact, I have a Bible here with a footnote. It says the 144,000 are Israelites, chosen in each tribe.
See, the devil entered directly into the Bible with the footnotes, and the best thing to do with the footnotes is give the foot. You know, a lot of them, that's what you have to do. Listen, forget the footnotes. Let's go to the head notes. Shall
Amen.
We go to the Word of God?
Amen. Yes, definitely.
Okay, all right. So, Lord rebukes most of the footnotes. So, look, let me answer you Romans. Let's start with Romans chapter 2, 28 and 29. Read that. Okay, Romans. I'll answer you straight with the Scripture, okay?
Thank you.
If somebody, any of our friends listening, don't like, well, just throw your Bible away. I hope you don't. But that's what
Please
the Bible
don't.
Says. That's what the Bible says. If you don't believe the Scripture, don't even read the Bible anymore, okay? So this is just a provocation, incentive to wake up. Don't go to sleep and memorizing footnotes. Give them the foot to some of these teachers. And go to Jesus. Go to the Word. Go to the Bible. See what the Bible says exactly.
Amen.
Are you going to go give your life and die for a footnote? Please read the Word. Come on, what did you say? So let's start. I'll give you some scripture now.
Yes.
Who really Israel is. Okay. So go, Romans 2.
Romans 2, 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. Whose praise is not of man, but of God.
Okay, so listen, please.
This is very clear.
It's very clear. Like, we have to be completely, completely blind not to see. The Jews today are not anymore the Jews of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Those are people that God loves still, and I love them, and I witness to them when I bump into them. And I love them and everything, but they're not the true Jews. They're just a kind of Jews, all right? The true Jews, it's me and you. And anyone, Israelites or no, you can be Israelites, you can be from Eskimo from the North Pole, you can be an Indian from boomerang throwing from Australia, you can be an African country with a ring on your nose, Amazon jungle, and you can be just as Israelites as somebody who's living in Jerusalem and has been there for the last 3,500 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's so very clear.
So the difference is in Christ.
In Christ. Now, the only Jews, the ones who are descendants from the blood of Christ, a spiritual blood, okay? And that's it. It's very clear. No, let me give you more scriptures, okay?
Please.
Okay. Romans 9, 28 and 29, I think.
Romans 9.
No, maybe 6. Sorry, I got mixed up.
Romans 9,
verse 6.
Verse 6.
6, 7, 8, over there. See if I got it right.
All right. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed.
Okay?
Nice, very clear.
So, the children of God are not anymore the Israel of old. Why? Because God disowned Israel of old. God, he divorced them, okay? You know, our God is a divorce God. If you don't believe me, read in the Bible.
Yeah, we actually studied it. We studied it already.
Okay. So, Isaiah 50 verse 1, Jeremiah 3 verse 8. This is God is divorced, you know? So.
Yes.
Because Israel started worshiping, either Israel got married with a little demons, a little idols, and God divorced them. Okay, so, but now he remarried. Okay, he's a remarried God. In Christ, he remarried with the church, with the faithful church, which may be carnal Jews, in Christ, but became part of the body of Christ, and may be Gentile. All right. So you can see, like in Hosea, for example, Hosea chapter 1, 6 and 9, okay, what does it say? You want to read it? Because I don't want to misspell. Somebody will crucify me on some theological splitting. So there came a time when God said to the Jews, you're not my people anymore. And I'm not your God. Can you imagine? To the prophet Hosea said, hello, Israel, tune in a minute. You're not my people, and I'm not your God. You know, go back to your devil now. In fact, when Jesus came in the flesh, he killed him on the spot. Read it.
Hosea chapter 1.
Hosea 1, 6 and 9.
6 and 9. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Loruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Verse 9. Then said God, call his name Laomi, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God.
Also verse 2, please.
Verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto you a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord.
So, you understand? So, he tells Hosea, go marry a prostitute. Mm-hmm. All right? And then he said, the first child that this prostitute generated, they call it no more mercy. Yes. The second child, Lohami, you're not my people anymore.
Yes.
So, you understand what's happening here? So, God got tired of Israel worshipping the devil, sacrificing the children to Moloch, burning them to the honor of the devil. God got so upset, said, listen, you know what? I'm going to just get rid of you and divorce you. All right? And this is where actually Israel began not to be Israel. If you read Isaiah, the whole book, in fact, if you read Isaiah, you don't need to go there. Isaiah chapter 1 and chapter, especially 1 and 66, the first and the last. It says that don't do any more sacrifice, don't kill animals anymore. If you be willing and obedient, shall eat the good of the land, verse 19. If you refuse and rebel, you shall be destroyed by the sword. And so it's like Isaiah said, that's it. That's Isaiah, he lived in the 8th century. Okay, see, at the beginning. So, Israel is not Israel anymore. God repudiated, divorced, you're not my people anymore. And then Jesus came. Okay, here we go. You want to read it? Matthew 21. Jesus comes and he makes it very clear. All right, about this divorce, this rejecting Israel, etc. Rejected, not forever, reject until they repent in Christ. But now we have some teachers, false teachers, who say, Israel, in the flesh, who is still rejecting Christ, who doesn't want Jesus, is still the people of God. That's a lie.
The promise is fulfilled, but in Christ.
Yeah, exactly. It's like because these are the people of the covenant. They don't have any covenant. There is a new covenant now, the New Testament. The old covenant is finished. It's fulfilled in Christ. There's no more. They broke it and God divorced them. Understand? Yeah, let's read it. You have Matthew
21? Yes.
Okay, why don't you read from 43 and till the end?
Matthew 21, 43 to 46. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof.
It is done. Switching nations. We are a new nation in Christ, okay? There are two nations here. One false, old Israel. One new, spiritual Israel in Christ. Please open our eyes here. Let's not go to sleep on the footnotes. Footnotes is written by people who don't know what they're doing. Most of those footnotes. Understand? I'm sorry. I mean, some of those footnotes are written by false prophets, false teachers, deceived and deceiving. It's the opposite of what the Bible says.
44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard this parable...
Who's he talking to?
The chief priests and Pharisees.
Okay, so is it clear here?
Yes.
Yes.
Chief priests and Pharisees.
The Jews, yes.
Could it be more clear?
No.
Okay, attention.
They perceived that he spoke of them.
Okay, they
but they understood.
So, they understood. Some Christian understanding it.
Yes.
Understand?
Boy, that's quite something.
That's ridiculous. The priest understood. That's why they killed Jesus. The Christians don't understand.
They
have a couple of potatoes instead of glasses. They don't wonder they cannot read the Bible.
Lord, help us.
Some of these guys. Help us not to fall in the same ditch.
Amen.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, it says, their mind were blinded. In the reading of Moses, they still have a net in front of their eyes. In Christ, it is taken away.
Amen.
Verse 43.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 46. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet.
Okay, they tried to kill him. So you see, Jesus here repeats as a message given to Hosea centuries ago. Like he lived, so you think it was a 7th or 8th century. So exactly the same message again, okay? The kingdom shall be taken away from you, given to another nation, bringing fruit. So what's this thing that the Jews are still God's people? They're not God's people anymore. They can be in Christ. And otherwise, they're just pagan like anyone, like any atheist, like the Muslims, like the Hindus. You know, if anything worse, because they killed Jesus, they crucified Jesus. Doesn't mean God doesn't like, God loves them. God loves them, but be careful. They crucify Jesus, better repent.
Amen.
Repentance, and God goes, returns to love them and forgive them. So praise the Lord. All right. Like, you know, if you read, for example, 1 Corinthians 1:13, you don't have to open and tell you, says, Paul is saying, is Christ divided? Answer me.
No.
Okay, so does he have two bodies, Christ?
No, he has
one. Is he some kind of monstrosity? One head and two bodies? No.
No.
One body. It's either the carnal Jews who crucified him, who are not repented yet.
Which cannot be.
Oh, not repented yet. Oh, the spiritual Jews in his body. So that's, Christ is not divine. In Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, what does it say?
We read it.
What does it say? He's talking about the Jews.
Synagogue of Satan.
They say they are Jews, but they are not, but they are?
Synagogue of Satan.
A synagogue of Satan. You understand?
Yes.
I mean, is that too strong? You go to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, say, you are the children of the devil. So any Jew, any atheist, any Christians in quotes, anybody, who, being confronted with Christ, the truth of Christ, rejected, is the son of the devil. You know, not as an insult. The devil has his children, has his people, the tares. Amen? Back to the point?
Amen.
But Brother Joseph, some people, though, still say that these are cardinal Jews, because they say this will be the Jews that will get converted during the Great Tribulation.
That's ridiculous. But then they're not cardinal Jews anymore. If they get converted during the Great Tribulation, they're not carnal Jews, they're spiritual Jews,
it's
like
true.
Me and you.
It's true. Boy, it's,
I mean,
it's true. It's so clear.
This is just playing with words.
It's true.
I mean, because they get converted during the Great Tribulation, so they're not the body of Christ. What are they? A millimeter higher than Christ?
It's true.
What?
They're still spiritual Jews.
Okay, plus this is a theory. This is a theory totally without scripture that the Jews will get converted in the Great Tribulation. Yes, some of them will. The remnants will. In fact, in Revelation 11, it says the remnant will get converted exactly at the rapture. Okay, as well as Zechariah chapter 12, it says that. But that means they enter into the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So Revelation 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence come they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which come out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. It's beautiful.
Amen, amen. You see here in verse 14, it says they are made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
See, if you go to the Great Tribulation Scripture, Daniel 11, from 31 to 35, you see that in verse 35, I read it to you. It says, it talks about the 144,000. It talks about those who...
It talks about the 144,000.
Well, they're included there. Mm-hmm. Included because it talks about those who teach, the followers of God who will teach others, who will stand up against the Antichrist. Alright, nevertheless, they'll be destroyed. It talks about the bride too. Verse 32, it says, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. This is like the 144,000. They that know their God, that's kind of a symbolic of the bride of Christ, the 144,000, which is kind of the same thing. Well, and then in verse 35, alright, we're reading here after the Antichrist places the abomination of desolation, verse 31, which Jesus said in Matthew 24:15, when you see that, it's great tribulation. Okay, 15 until 21. Okay, so I'll just read you 35, Daniel 11, 35. And some of them of understanding shall fall for what? To try them, to purge, to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. So they be made white, just like it says here in Revelation 7.
So that is during the Great Tribulation.
During the Great Tribulation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So it says here that is to try them and to purge them, to make them white. Okay. Try, purge, make them white. In other words, the tribulation is to purify the church. Amen. But the false prophets are preaching, don't worry, before the tribulation, going to be raptured. Why? The tribulation is a purging. God is not going to rapture a filthy, dirty church, a church is that is in apostasy, a church that today they just memorizing TV instead of the Bible, a church that they're serving the world instead of serving God, a church that instead of saving souls, souls of the lost in the streets, they're there saving money for the bank accounts, deceived in prosperity, in the false prosperity gospel, money, money, money. Okay, thank God for the few true Christians who are evangelizing the lost, who are dedicating their money to reach the lost, who are dedicating their lives to build the house of God and not their own villa. Thank God for those few Christians.
In Revelation 7:14, it says that these are they which came out of the great tribulation.
Very clear.
Yes, and they are washed and they are white. Now, are this the bride, also the 144,000 and others? Because it says a multitude that no man can number of all nations.
Yeah, it can be.
Like, who are they? So, such a big multitude.
All of these people you said.
144,000 and the bride.
This is the bride.
And the rest of the bride.
This is the bride, okay.
But I thought there are few, actually, those who are really faithful and evangelize and give their all to Jesus. Here it says a multitude that no man can number.
Well, it doesn't say few anywhere. It's like, we cannot count them, okay? Mm-hmm. Bible says multitude, so it's a multitude.
Yes.
Okay, so you see in verse 17, for example, it says God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. If you go to Revelation 21, verse 4, okay, it talks about the bride. Okay, if you can read that. Can you go to Revelation 21?
Yes.
All right, very interesting.
Verse 4?
Yeah. No, you can start a little earlier. Okay, you can start. And verse 2 until 4.
And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Okay, as a bride. This is the dwelling place of the bride, all right?
Amen.
Not all the Christians. Not the Laodicea is going to be vomited out, etc. This is the spotless, spick and span place where only the bride, those among us who will be called to be the bride, only God knows who. But I think it's enough of an incentive for us to try to live as if
Amen.
We are the bride.
Amen.
Okay. And, God never told me I'm one of the 144,000, but I want to live like if I was.
Amen.
Just because I love Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Keep reading.
Amen. Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.
Understand, God shall be living among these people. That's the bride, right?
Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
It's exactly the same words. God shall wipe away all tears.
All right.
Amen.
So, basically the same thing, no tears, or like we read in Revelation 7, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
He shall wipe away all the tears. So, you know, the great multitude, the market numbers. Of course, these people from the great tribulation that will be part of the bride of Christ, will be in Jerusalem. It's not just that the great tribulation of the end time, but it's all the Christians, the true Christians, part of the body of Christ of all eras.
Yeah,
even in the Old
true.
Testament, it's Elijah
true.
And David and et cetera, and Abraham, and it's not just the limited 3.5 years, even though there will be many, because now there is an incredible populations of Christians now. You know, now there are the Christians hundreds of millions. In the days of Abraham, there was just very few. So most of those guys are going to be coming from the great tribulation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So that's at the end of Revelation chapter 7. Praise
Thank
the Lord.
A real victorious chapter, very inspiring, with the overcomers, the multitude, and the 144,000. Thank you, Jesus.
It's
Thank
a chapter Lord. Also of enlightenment. God
Amen.
Is enlightening, opening our eyes to understand who are the 144,000. Also a lot of incentive to live like them.
Amen.
Because you see, only those who obey are going to be either the 144,000 chosen and protected, even though they die as martyrs, but that's a glory. Or they'll be the bride of Christ protected 3.5 years. Be careful if any of us who's living as a passive Christian who does not hear the voice of God, because only hear the voice of the TV and the politicians, okay, then they're not going to hear God's voice when he says, God over here and don't go over there. All right. There's going to be a time when God calls his bride and says, go to the desert. What is the desert? You better know where. Jesus said in John 10:27-28, he said, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me, and I give them eternal life. Who gives eternal life? To them who follow him.
Follow him.
So if you don't follow Jesus, you probably don't have eternal life. He says, my sheep hear my voice, they follow me, and I give them eternal life. So attention, please. God revealed to me one day that, people have eternal life, they follow Jesus. Okay? And if you don't follow Jesus, well, I don't know if you're saved. You may be born again just in your carnal brain, just in your religion. Like the Pharisees, you thought they were people of God, but they were not. They thought they were children of Abraham. Jesus said, if you were Abraham, you do the works of Abraham. Amen? Praise
Amen.
God. Anything
Amen.
Else?
Thank you, Jesus.
No, Lord, help us.
Praise Amen. God.
Amen. Amen.